Yeah, Flora was expected to agree.
The memory stick is
miracle.
It's just according.
Miracle that happened.
That must be good.
That they put 70 different rabbis. Rabbi became an Egypt. Every king in Egypt. The rabbis became an Egypt. Want to know what all these rabbis are talking about? So there's 70 rabbis, put them all in different rooms, and told them all to translate it. Because you put them in different rooms because you want them to tell the truth. Like you got that much, you all translate it on your own, and then you would compare them to make sure no one's trying to, the liar or make the stories up. So, and the miracle was, so they said, was that all the translations came out exactly the same.
See that story?
So the flip side of it, the rabbis, the miracle was that he put the 70 rabbis in different rooms. Because you put them all in the same room, there's no way they would have come up with the same thing. It was like, it had 70 different translations.
That was the main point. The topic, instead of doing continuous different malachim, Bernie decided, since it's a surface this week, we do something a surface related. I'm sure everyone knows the classic surface here with the four fast stations in Chayes, but we're not going to do that one. I'm sure we must have done it some time before. And we're going to use this as an excuse to learn Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu. And you might think there's allusions to something political here. It's not. If it is, it's only for the sake of to clarify what's going on. But what we're going to find in Asar B'Tevet, we're going to find Nevuah, the main Nevuah of Asar B'Tevet is Nevuah by Yechezkel. But why such important Nevuah in the time of Yechezkel? Why the day is so important? And there's a famous Abu Graham that the only, if we wouldn't have the set of calendar, we would even fast, I think, on Shabbos, right? With Etzem HaYom HaZeh, remember that one? And that's why it was set out on Friday. In fact, in the Southern Hemisphere, it's really, in the Southern Hemisphere, this is the rough one. And here, in New York, I realize it's like, it's just, you can just skip lunch and you're, so especially if you dedicate a little bit to learning. So open up in the Yechezkel Perek Chaf Dalet. By the way, the source tree, I'm going to go over. I'm going to get to this one real simple outline page. Real basic, we're going to go back to it soon. The source sheets that I gave you for those in the Tanakhim are not in sphere order, they're in snap order. You understand? This should be a page for Yechezkel and then a set of pages for Yirmiyahu in order by Pashim. So we're not going to go in order, it's not a source sheet like in an organized, it's a censored Tanakh, or a, not a censored, a filtered Tanakh, but still in snap order. So we're going to start just the first Pashim of Yechezkel Chaf Dalet. And our first topic today will be slogans. We'll see why soon. Remember the slogans today? Those slogans have been, the concept of slogans is a popular tool among the people, between people and their religious leaders, was something very interesting. Look at Yechezkel Perek Chaf Dalet, just the opening line, which is the main source for our subject today, and then we'll get to work. Ba'idvar Seder Loin, B'chanat Shi'it, B'chodesh HaTziri, B'chol L'chodesh, three more. And the book, Yechezkel, the ninth year, also, Yechezkel, the year is, everyone know? Yechezkel is counting. Who can guess what they're going to count to in Yechezkel? Everyone knows where Yechezkel was. Okay, we have an extra supply of. Yeah. I've got the. Anyone who wants to look enough, they have more. Okay. Even if you have the seats, it's better to have one of these. In fact, Terry, I'm going to trade you for one of them. Okay. And where was Yechezkel living? I will get to make the basic straight. In Babel, exactly. And how did he get there? Or when? There were two waves of exile. Okay, remember, this is what they call Golus Yechonia, or Golus Yehoyachin, it's the same person, which was 11 years before the Korban. But you're probably familiar with who went out in the first wave of Galut, which type of people went out? Charat Vamazger, which is, some people translate as Ashkenazi. Some people translate it as the Tamil Chachamim, and that is what Charat Hamazgir. Yeah, that's what. What job do? What does Charat Hamazgir do for a living? Mazgir is a metal worker, and basically doing that for a living. Who did they take out? Who stayed at home? Who stayed in Israel? The farmers, the men workers, for a very simple reason. When you wanted to take over another country, You go, why did you get rid of all the muffers? Anyone who knows how to set a country up and how to organize things, etc., those are the dangerous ones. The simple workers, the simple would be citizens, loyal citizens to any government. And the people always try to take control. So the simple people leave them behind, and the masters get rid of them. Not get rid of them, or maybe even reuse them in your country. But Yechezkel was always counting from Galut Yehoyakim, which just happens to coincide with the same how many years Chizkiyahu's reign became king in Yehuda after that Galut. So the years of Yehoyakim's Galut is the same as the years of Chizkiyahu's reign in Yerushalayim. 11 years later, they have to get Chizkiyahu's Korban HaBayit. Simple. And therefore, all the dating in Yechezkel is going to be the years of Galut Yehoyakim. I'll give you that line soon, but basically Yechezkel begins in year 5 of Galut Yehoyakim. You have another divorce in year 6, another one in 7, and this is the last one in year 9, in this unit in Sefer Yechezkel. We'll go over the outline in a minute. But quickly, we want to find out what happened on the surface of it. Again, that is why some of the Bible says, "Hashidi, b'chodesh atziri, b'sod l'chodesh." The 10th day, the 10th month, the month. Ben Adam, tov l'chad shem ha-yom hazeh, etem ha-yom hazeh, tumach melech bavel el yushlan b'etem ha-yom hazeh. God tells Yechezkel, I want you to write down this day and publicize it in public. Let the people know. Tell everyone, look at your calendar. Today is the 10th of Tevet. Make a note of this day, because in a short time, we're going to hear news about what's going to happen this day. I'm telling you what happened on this day. Melech Bavel is going to lay siege on Yerushalayim. Masal Beit HaMeri Masal. I'm sorry. If not Melech Bavel or Yerushalayim, he begins to siege. Masal Beit HaMeri Masal. Tell this family of rebellious people. Give them a Masal. B'matalehem, kol ma'asem, tfot asir, tfot. You know what tfot asir means? Let's say he's putting up the tomb pot. Tfot asir means get the pot ready. You know, pour in the, put the ingredients inside. We got mitzvah for mine. Put water in it, put the meat in it, everything inside. And tfot asir, put a bunch of pieces of meat inside. Kol netach tov, yerech v'kateh, you know, with the marrow, the whole thing. A whole big tomb pot. Yivchar asanim alei. What do you call marrow bones? And they call the best, the full part. You've got a son of a clock, it's the best meat, the best cattle. Come, Zura, Samin, Tachter, get good fight underneath it, get a body real hot. Vatach, with Tachter, Gam, Basura, Samin, Basura, et cetera, et cetera. He goes on a whole Nevoah of how to, what's going on? Why are you talking about cooking to the people? That wasn't his answer yet. It was to mark today. If you read the text by itself, it's very difficult to understand what you're talking about. I understand mark the day, you know, mark this day that the siege of Yerushalayim is starting. But why this analogy of a pot full of water? The answer to understand that parak, we're going to have to go back to Yechezkel Parak Yodala. And therefore, if you're reading Yechezkel Parak Yodala by itself, you really wouldn't appreciate what's happening. We're going to go back to Yechezkel Parak Yodala. I'm going to read what's happening in Yechezkel Parak Yodala, and then we can get to work and try to put this here together. Just a little introduction. Just I want to show you how, if you would read this paragraph on your own, you'd be totally lost. I want to give you a little understanding of where it's coming from to appreciate who Yechezkel is talking to and what's going on in his lifetime. If you remember Yechezkel, what paragraph of Yechezkel does everyone know? Thanks to Shur. Everyone knows the first paragraph of Yechezkel and what Yechezkel see? You know, he's on a... He sees what's called the Master Merkava, he sees his vision of... But the main thing he sees is he sees God's Shina. Not just that, he sees God's Shina, and it's leaving Yerushalayim and landing in Babel. Which is going to be the big finish of Yechezkel. Yechezkel sees God's Shina landing in Babel. And then after it lands in Babel, he gives Yechezkel a mission. He sees it in his first Nevoah, in Tarek Aleph through Gimel. It's going to happen again in the next set of Nevoah in Tarek Aleph. His vision of Parashat goes on, I call it like a Disney ride. Parashat, you know Parashat Yud. Yechezkel goes on the Disney ride. Because he takes them, he puts them in this little sort of capsule. You've been on Disney ride? And they take you, you've been on Disney ride. No? No, I'm talking about Disney ride? Okay, somebody. I think it's 18 year old. At Disney ride, you go on this little thing and it makes it look like you're in outer space or you're, no, you go through these journeys. This is the Disney ride to Jerusalem. Yechezkel doesn't go there. But he goes, he's always there, and God takes him through the Beit HaMikdash and every single chater from place to place, and sees what's going on with these people. It's a whole story takes him on. Now, at the end of all that tour, in the beginning of Parashat Aleph, which should really be the end of Parashat Yud, ותשאל תברך ותביא את הישב את השם הקדמוני הפני קדימה הפתח עשר 25 איש. During season the score, he goes inside this gate in the Beit HaMikdash, an eastern gate, and inside the gate there's 25 men. They're up to talk about Yasna ben Azor, the Kleshe ben Zemel Sarayam. He sees two chassid of people there. Remember, it's only been 5-6 years since I left Yerushalayim. And all the friends are Yerushalayim. We're going to talk about that very soon. He sees them. Where am I living at them? Eila and Asim, this group of people in Yerushalayim, these leaders, Sarai, two Sarim, who are leading the people in the Beit HaMikdash, what are they saying? HaKoshim Aben, the Yosim HaTakra, the planning iniquity, but they're giving really bad advice to in this city. Home, what are they selling? Lo v'karov v'nopatim. Now, if you didn't have the tamemi, I didn't put, there's no tamemi, there's no comma in the Tanakh. There's not, but I put the comma in because there's tamemi kra. It has to be. It's not lo v'karov v'nopatim, it's lo v'karov v'nopatim. Understand? Lo v'karov, it's not coming soon, instead, build houses. Tiyasir v'anachnu abasav. It is the pot, shirt, and where the meat. L'chein kol ma'ashem chalim asher samtem b'tocha, heima basar v'yasher, we'll get to that in a minute. There's two slogans the people are saying. Yechezkel is talking about this pot and the meat inside. What are the people you find saying? The people, I'll give you an example again from today, only for the sake of analogy. In the summer, there was a saying, Yehudi, Eilom HaGresh Yehudi. I'm not talking good or bad, I'm talking about the slogan. People say slogans, and that slogan has behind it a whole mitan. A whole mitan is, what the heck is the bad translation? It has a message, but more, it's more exaggerated than message. But not exaggerated in the psychological sense, but it's carrying a lot. I mean, it there's a whole hatskapa behind it. There's a whole, and what's hatskapa behind this statement? The people are saying in Yerushalayim, he has killed an achlo basar, meaning the city of Yerushalayim is like the pot, and we're the meat inside the pot. What does the meat usually do? What does the pot usually do to the meat inside? It holds it and protects it. What are the people saying in Yerushalayim? They're saying we won't be destroyed. Why? Who's going to protect us? The walls of Jerusalem will protect us. There's a feeling in Yerushalayim that Yerushalayim cannot be destroyed. If you know it, you yell that sign. It's the people know in the quiz test. Who's the who did if you don't? Yeah, what's the triple word? What's the triple word in the beginning of Tarek Zion? Remember? Isn't that a classic test of how many? When you have the same word repeated three times in a row? Yeah. So there you say, Chalashem, Chalashem, Chalashem. We'll take a look at it maybe later. But you know what tells the people? You're saying, Chalashem, Chalashem, Chalashem. The people are sure that your son can't be destroyed. And what's going to protect them? Right? The Beit HaMikdash will protect them, the walls. They're sure Choban won't happen. Just like we're sure there won't be Choban Shlishi, they were sure there wouldn't be Choban Rishon. Just like by Shani, we're sure there wouldn't be Choban Shani. They were sure by Rishon won't be destroyed. There might be some ups and downs, but the Beit HaMikdash can't be destroyed. It's a big thing in Yirmiyahu because Yirmiyahu says he can, and guess what they do to him? Yeah. Because he says that, they want to kill him. They put him on trial. For as an Abisekar, it's a false prophet for saying that. But what's the Machado saying? The people are saying, he has fear of Anachal Basar. They're telling people, don't worry, the walls of Jerusalem will protect us. But what's behind that message? It sounds like, you know, Emunah, faith in God, etc. What's behind the message? There's a real deep political argument within the people in Yerushalayim, what to do with Chazal. And that's going to be to keep understanding what's happening in the Chazal and Yirmiyahu at this time period. So, if you know the historical events of what's happening at that time, the new superpower is Chazal. So when did they come into power? Chazal. Then who was the big superpower before him? Ashur, they were the, for the last 100 years, Ashur, they kicked Shomron out. Finally Ashur, in the time of Yoshiel. Yeah. And then Egypt sitting in the picture, and maybe a person can have a rebound, Babel to dark horse coming from the outside. And about 10, 15 years earlier, Babel had a, was on a hot streak. And they had actually come in and taken out Yerushalayim and sent people into exile. They didn't destroy the Mikdash yet, but they had a lot of victories. The people were sure that it's going to be very short-lived, and Babel's going to fall very, very soon. And just to weigh down a little bit more, but what's called in Hebrew, Ototot. You've heard that saying before? Ototot? You can translate that. Who's heard it? Ototot means, like, any minute now. Any time now. In a very short time, Babel's going to fall, Egypt's going to come to the rescue, etc. Or things are going to change, and we're going to get out of this mess. The worst is over. Yirmiyahu is telling them, and that, I think, was the title. It's on the subject, it's a lost cause or last chance. Is that the title? I think. Yeah. Someone said it.
What's happening according to Tevye? Is it a lost cause what's happening in the Torah? Or is it a last chance? It's almost going to be a bit of, it sounds like it's going to be a machoket between Yemel and Yechezkel. We'll try to see what's behind it. So, to begin again, there's a mashal that the people were saying in Yerushalayim, Yechezkel and Achna Basar, which is representing a concept that Jerusalem can't be destroyed, and we can hold on to the city, we can fight any enemy, which is going to be directly opposed to Yirmiyahu's opinion, which is, hopefully you're familiar with, which we'll have to discuss soon. Who knows what Yirmiyahu's opinion was? What?
Don't be lying.
No, more than that. Remember his opening? Remember? It's not like that. Who is Yirmiyahu's opening of Ruach? He sees the sin of Ruach. Right? Remember sin of Ruach anywhere? Open up. Come in, Sephora. But what Yirmiyahu is saying is, Bavel is coming in, and they're going to take over. And what God wants you to do is to give into Babel. And what we're going to find, when our children start, we're going to develop it and say, that's going to be almost the main political event that explains what's happening in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. Without understanding it, you really wouldn't appreciate all the details in both books. The establishment, the Minsad, the rabbinic establishment, the political establishment, is all saying, let's fight Babel. We can fight him, we can defeat him. We can put up a front together with our neighbors. And this rabbi comes and tells him, Yirmiyahu, he says, God wants you to give in to Babel. Now, Yirmiyahu gives a religious reason for his statement to give in to Babel. He says, God's punishing you for your bad behavior, and your punishment is that you have to be subjected out to Babel. That's what Yirmiyahu is saying. The people are saying, in God's name, we have to protect ourselves, and we have to fight them to keep our independence. And there's this big fight going on. We're going to see it inside. And the tragedy of the whole situation we're going to see is that Yirmiyahu is giving a prophecy which is about religion, which is about telling the people that God's punishing you for your bad behavior. And your punishment is you have to be subjugated to Babylonian sovereignty. The people don't buy it. Not only the people, the rabbis don't buy it. The political leaders don't buy it. And they see Yirmiyahu as what we call nowadays against the leftists. You follow? They say, Yirmiyahu, you're being paid by the European, not by the European Union, you're being paid by the Babylonians, you're being paid by them, trying to undermine the thing, and your opinion, telling the people don't fight and you're going to lose, and God saying don't fight, all you are simply you're an activist working for the enemy, and that's why he has to go into hiding, that's why they want to kill him, and we'll see. Now, the people are so sure that they're right, and the source of Yirmiyahu is wrong, it's going to cause a whole chain of events which is going to be catastrophic. We have to see what's going on in Yerushalayim. And remember, the people in Yerushalayim and the people in Babel, we can see there's communication. It wasn't email, but there was communication between them. It took maybe several weeks for letters to get back and forth. They know each other, and there's going to be letters going back and forth. It's going to be very interesting what's happening between them. But that's going to be the background to understand what's happening on the surface today. What's so big about this Nebuah? There's one other slogan, which we saw here, which I'm not sure where it's coming from. And you follow in Batmi Klum. Go back to Pasuk Gimel and Perek Yud Aleph in the Yechezkel. It says, the people are saying, I mean, look at Korob Benot Fatim. Look at the Reza. It says, look at Korob Benot Fatim. What's he talking about? What are the people you're trying to say, look at Korob Benot Fatim? To figure what they're saying, we have to know what Yirmiyahu did. Open up Yirmiyahu Perek Chaftet. I want to give one more example of how you really can't appreciate wonderful out, you don't know what's going on in the wider picture. And then our next step is going to be to draw the wider picture to see what's going on, then we'll go back and see the sources inside and understand them better. Look at Yirmiyahu Perek Chaftet. We'll see a very interesting example of diplomatic mail. There was a diplomatic mail going between Yerushalayim and Babel. Remember when Galut Yehoshua goes into exile, the king of Babel, and Nebuchadnezzar appoints Yehoshua as king over Yerushalayim, of the people left behind, and his job is to be subservient to the rest of them. Text Yirmiyahu Chaftet Batagala. The end of the book says that, after Shalach Yirmiyahu Nabi Yerushalayim, these are the details of a book, of a letter that Yirmiyahu sent to from Yerushalayim, how Yeshua Zikri Agula to the elders of the exile in Babel, Velakonim, Velanavim, Velkola'am, Asher Aglan, Nebuchadnezzar, Yerushalayim, Babel. Yirmiyahu sent a letter to the exile in Gola.
When did you send it? Achrei Shet Yechoniya Melech Vajira Vashrishim Sarri Yudav Yisrael Bacharis Vamashim Yisraelim. It's what everyone knows, we talked about before. After the higher echelon, the relief went to Babel. Who did you send it with? Said Elasa ben Safan, Ugmari ben Chukiyah, Asher Shalach, Tizkiyah Melech Yudah, and the Zabonetah Melech Babel Limor. Tizkiyah sent two emissaries to the king of Babel, sending him diplomatic mail, and into that, together with that mail, Yirmiyahu and Hussein, take this text, take this, they're going anyhow, take this letter to the people in the Kenim in the Golan. Kol Ma'asem Tzvot Erei Yisrael. The Chag Golan, the great new time of heaven. This is important Nebuah of Yirmiyahu, and the only Nebuah of Yirmiyahu, the people in the Masjidon, for thousands of years, we'll see. Okay? What's the message of Yirmiyahu to the Jews in Babel? Benu Vatim V'Shevel. What's that mean? Benu Vatim V'Shevel? In Babel, good houses. In Babel. And say, you took an old Yichud Zayan, what's the message to the people in Babel? Settle down, build houses, have children, get married, plant trees. If you're staying somewhere for a month or two, for a year or two, three, four, why build a house? Why get married? Why plant trees? Understand? Because if you're old, we said, pulling back. Just look at a center, take things temporary in the meantime, you're going back very soon. If you're going to be there for a long time, then settle down. He explains why non-positive dying. Did you see a trauma here? That I said, let's take some time, take care, be nice to the people in the city you're with. Be palu baza, el Hashem ki b'shoma yi alechem shalom. Why? Pasuk says, b'chol ma Hashem tzvot alei Yisrael, al yatiyu lachem nivyechem asher b'kev lachem. You know what yatiyu means? Don't let them mislead you. Don't let them mislead you. Or give you false hope. Because mechem, he calls them like magicians. Don't listen to the dreams as Hashem Achranim. You guys are dreaming about. They're dreaming. What are they dreaming about? The dreams are coming back within a short time. You're in Babel for another 70 years. Basically, you're telling the people in Babel, settle down. You're here for a long haul. You're there for a good 70 years. The people in Babel think they're only here for a year or two. Now, that letter that Yirmiyahu is sending, what's he saying? He's saying, Gnubas in the table. Okay? Yirmiyahu is sending, telling people in Galut, settle a future of Amishal in Galut, in Babel, and build houses there. The people who said don't like what he's hearing, what's he saying? Lota Karo, please. What you're talking about, Urban Abayt, etc., it's not going to happen soon. And where should we build houses? Where should we put our efforts? Gnupatim where? Gnupatim in Yerushalayim. And there's an argument, where's the future of the Jewish people? If you're Yirmiyahu Chazalit, you have to really rough on this. He talks about this, in Yirmiyahu Chazalit, he gives an analogy of two big baskets, good baskets. One is really good, smarim, a date. Yeah. And one really lousy date. He says, one, he has a picture of both of them, and God tells him, this beautiful fruit basket, that's the Jews in Galut. This lousy fruit basket is going to go desperate, it's going to go sour very soon, and go rotten. Those are the Jews in Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu should make predictions that the future of Am Yisrael is in Babel. The people you find don't want to hear what he's saying. Now, to preach it again, when the people you find are saying, Lovakov, Benot Patin, they're dealing with what Yirmiyahu has to say. They're arguing with Yirmiyahu. When the people are saying, he has to have an Achlo Vassar, they're talking about the situation. Now, to preach it what's happening, I think you may copy the outline. We're going to give a little outline now of Sefer Yechezkel. And to preach it what's happening specifically in the ninth year of Yechezkel, we have to give a little overview of what's happening in the book of Yechezkel. It's really simple. Comparing it to Yirmiyahu, and then we can get to, so we can hopefully figure out what's happening. If you have the sheet, fine. If not, okay, it's real simple. Yechezkel breaks into, I put here, mixed up there. It should be five sections, it's two D's. You'd be supposed to do that automatically. The first section is called the first 24 chapters. That's the main part. That's the bulk of Yechezkel. That's why I call it Tochachot. The first 24 chapters of Yechezkel were all about how he yells at the people of Israel. And it goes in chronological order year by year. It begins in year 5, then year 6, year 7, and year 9. The last in the book of this unit is Esar V'Tehid. And that's why it's so important to understand where it is in the book. Esar V'Tehid stands at the end of a whole set of Tochachot about what's going to be in, of what's happening and why the Korban's happening. The second part of Yechezkel, which is part of everyone's gift, is part of Chafeda Shalamete. Yechezkel is talking to other nations. He reduced other nations. He has a whole list of them, the whole Middle East. He has a whole reduce of them. You may have something similar at the end of Yirmiyahu, right in the middle of Yechezkel, not for today. After those divorces, there's two chapters of Nechama, those questions we all know by heart. We read one of them yesterday. Remember the Eshachad, the Fine Eshachad? Everything there is Haftarah. Pesach, I think, Shabbat Chalamoy on Pesach. It's, and you get dry bones? When's dry bones? Dry bones is last day? Otherwise, Pesach? No, it's last day.
Shabbat
Chalamoy. And then today, so it's being the time of the land, and I'm doing the month to me. There's almost all of them are Haftarah. So basically, it's dry bones.
That one's close.
Is that one? That was the last day?
No,
I think one of them is somewhere in Baisha. But that's the Vodah Chama, which makes sense after the worst is over, the Vodah Chama. Then you have Gog and Magog after the Chama, because Gog and Magog comes after, it's after things are better. So after we think things are better. Then we have another bad situation, then we have Gula again. And then the last section came to from Pakim. That's about the Shekhinah returning. The book begins with Shekhinah leaving your son. The book ends with Shekhinah returning to your son. It's a real simple mitzvah. The text is pretty simple as far as it's set up. I simply wanted the outline to show you how Terech Chavdala is a pivotal parak. It's not just any old parak chapter in the book. It's very pivotal. Number one. Now, if the Chesko was an Avi who's rebuking the people in Babel, and he's thinking to them, the question is going to be, why did he begin his nevuot? In what year? In year 5. If you look at the first line of Yechezkel. I think I should have that on the sheet.
Yeah.
Look at the beginning of Yechezkel. Yechezkel Perakala, the opening line of the book. Just remember from Shavuot. Shavayim b'tfosim shana b'rvim b'chamisha l'chodesh shani b'toch ha'zolah al na'arkvaz b'tfosh shmai b'rav na'arot ha'rvim b'chamisha l'chodesh shiach shana ha'rishim v'gavlut ha'melech yorachin ha'yad v'arasem elai. Understand? Yechezkel opens up his nevuah in the first year, in the fifth year of Yehoyakim. What's the question? He got there much earlier. Why did he wait 5 years before he begins to talk? What's happening there? So, what we want to try to understand is what's happening in year 9. Remember in the outline? There's year 5, year 6, year 7, and year 9. Why are those years? What's the message? What message is he giving in those years? Now, in year 5, what did he see? He sees God's Shekhinah landing in Babel. In year 6, when he begins his nevuah, he sees the same vision, and then he sees how it leads to Yerushalayim and lands in Babel. It's more detailed in year 6. But it begins in year 5. What happened in year 5? To preach it, when Yechezkel begins, we have to go and see what's happening in Yirmiyahu. You follow? Okay, let me just review, because this is the trickiest part. Yechezkel has 3-4 sets of nevuah, year 5, year 6, year 7, year 9. To preach it, why should... Most of the Shavuot are basically year 5, 6, and 7. We have to see what's happening in Yerushalayim in year 5, 6, and 7. Got that? What's happening in Yerushalayim? Now, let's open up this to Yirmiyahu now and see when Yirmiyahu gets his Shavuot. Yirmiyahu is a lot, is a, over a longer time period. Yirmiyahu begins his Shavuot with the rise and power of what king? Yoshiel? Who remembers Josiah?
No.
Remember Yoshiel? Don't think that in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu gives the Lord for 40 years. Basically, Yoshiel is the last really good king. He tried very good. That's the one who dies in Megiddo. He does his reform. He makes a good Pesach, a time reform. That's when they find the sacred Torah. And that's when they're sure that this is, that was another time period of what we see in the Chesed Lothena where they're sure things are getting really good. And what makes them think that things are getting better? Because a sure fall. A sure fall from power coincides with Yoshiel's reign. And now that Ashur is falling, the ceremony is falling, the worst is over, and even in the early years of Yoshiel, some of the 10 tribes return. Yirmiyahu talks about it. Gemara talks about it also. Yirmiyahu actually went himself to bring some of the tribes back. That all of them come back, but some of them come back. And they return to the north, to the Shomron, and there's a feeling of redemption around the corner. Which part of the finding of the Sefer Torah and the big Pesach they do, there's a feeling of euphoria during the time of Yoshiel. Yirmiyahu's main message in those early years of Yoshiel is, you think everything's better, your life's a little bit better, but you have a long way to go. Don't think you're so good, just because you did a little bit of tshuva, doesn't mean, just because you start being kavanas again, and nationalism is on the rise, etc., doesn't mean that God's on your side so fast. You have a lot of work to do. You have to fix your behavior. And get to this Gemara's whole line about Tzedek and Mishpat, which is the first 20 chapters almost, but he focuses on. That's Gemara. Gemara warns the people in time of Yoshiel, and they don't seem to listen too well. Yoshiel himself dies in battle, and after 31 years of reign, remember, he became king when he was 8, but after about 15 to about 20 years of doing Shuvah, who takes over for Yoshiel? He has a son named Yoyakim. First the one, then the second son, Yoyakim. He takes over, and he's not so firm. Say it lightly. And Yirmiyahu, Yoyakimer, and because of Sochi, Yoyakim doesn't want to hear about anything from Yirmiyahu. He basically ruins his father's life, in his opinion. And Yoyakim just throws everything down the drain. He's worse than Manasseh, or as bad as Manasseh. And Yirmiyahu says, because of you, we're going to lose everything. We had a chance for redemption. And then because of your policy, it's all room. In Yirmiyahu Perachotei, that's where it all begins. That's where everything changes. Look in Yirmiyahu Perachotei, and that's the critical year in Yirmiyahu's life, which is going to basically change what's going to happen now in the Middle East. This is a famous pasuk. It's the only pasuk I think it's not. We have a double date. We have a double header. You have a date. We're correlating between two different reigns. The fourth year of Yoshim is the rise of, you'll see the power if you want, to your history book, I think it's 609 or 606 BC. I'll call you Yoshim, I'll call you more. Now, why we have a double date that we'll see very soon. A Perachotei, basically, it's like a parent has, after years and years of fighting with his teenager, says, "Now I've been yelling at you, but ba-bam, I've had it. It's time to do something about it." And he's going to give his whole tochacha. Remember, this is the fourth year of Yoyakim. Perachotei, Pasuk Gemara. He saw the station of Yosef ben Amon Melech Yehuda from the 13th year of Amon when he began his divorce. Ada Yom Hazeh, to the fourth year of Yoyakim, I've been yelling at you for the last 23 years, and you just don't seem to get it. That's not enough. You have to be nice to your neighbor, you have to be nice to the poor. Everyone knows Chassid Yirmiyahu. He put the whole point about social justice in Tzedek u'Mishpat. He says, if you don't get that together, this whole redemption is worthless. The people don't buy it. So I've been telling you that over and over again, you don't seem to understand. And don't follow other gods, etc. And don't get God angry. Basically, we're building up the punishment's about to come. You have 23 years I've been warning you, you just don't seem to understand. I gotta do something major. I gotta take away the credit card. What's Yirmiyahu saying? This is a bombshell, almost unheard of in prophecy, in the Nevuah. Rarely do the beings predict political events. Rarely. What's Yirmiyahu saying? Yirmiyahu is calling a political stop. What's he saying? Melech Bavel now is in charge of the Middle East, not just of Israel. God put Melech Bavel in charge of all the nations around for the next 70 years. And why is God doing that? Because I've been warning you for the last 23 years to get your act together, to improve your behavior. You don't seem to understand. I have to do something major to take you up to make you understand. You don't have your Judaism, you're not understanding it right. I have to do something catastrophic to wake the people up. What's your punishment for the next 23 years? Bavel's in charge. Now, why? For the next 70 years, Bavel's in charge? That's just the Israel for the whole Middle East. You know what that's going to explain? What do we have in the end of Yirmiyahu? You know the book? The last page from Perez, then, what is it? From Menhei. To the end, Yirmiyahu has a whole set of his divorce to of the other nations. To Mitzrayim, to Persia, it's like 10 different nations there. Why? They're coming to explain where they belong. So God's going to come and explain it to all of them. You may have to explain what Amishel did wrong, you have to explain what the other nations did wrong. God is using Babel as his shade, as his whip, to punish the whole nations of the Middle East. That's what Yirmiyahu is explaining to them. He's poor Babylonian in the sense that God's given Babel the power to rule. No. Yeah. Why does it say Abdi? Because, if you know Yisrael, Yisrael is the sentry with Asur, but who will Chayyid him? He's my servant, but he's not my servant. Meaning, I'm using him as my servant. Yisrael has that with Asur. In detail, first time, over and over again. What God is saying is that I'm using Babel as my servant. Not that he's, you know, Mel Babel is no Mr. Brum. Okay? He's not doing it against the mind. But God's saying I'm using him as my sword. That's why he says later on, look at the last line, that he can look, in fact, look at that, that he can look at such a full of Merach Vodav, where he has him, Allah Vodam, and he has him, but I'm still going after 7 years, after using them, I'm going to punish them for all the things they did wrong. But right now, I'm using them. Now, what team are you fighting with? What team are you fighting with? The Kadzim are no big study team either. When you look at the political events, what is it that the Kadzim now is so powerful? People get the conclusion of Leitzin to Leitzayam. That, so what that means, Leitzin, that says, there's no extra cost. But those powerful because they're powerful, and it's simply whoever the strongest political power takes over, and there's as much to do with people's behavior. So another point all the time, and that's the point of Nebuah, that historical events and political events are a function of man's feet. It might not be immediate, but it builds up over time. And for nature being punished because they're not following God properly. The people are saying, Babel, they're not big tzaddikim. So how come they're successful? What conclusion they reach? There's another part that you see didn't reach. In the Castle, you see a group of people in the Beit HaMikdash on this Jewish tour, Jerusalem, where the people saying, God doesn't see anymore, Azav Hashem, God bless. They believe in God, but they don't believe in Hashem anymore. Azav Hashem is the Arab. God bless. They have this feeling that it's all gone. God doesn't want anymore. I misunderstood his testimony. Now, here's what's so difficult about it. Yirmiyahu is coming and saying, what's your punishment given to Babel? Who's heard of Yirmiyahu 70 years? Everyone's heard of him? Everyone's heard of Yirmiyahu 70 years?
Heard of
But everyone's heard of the 70 Shana of Yirmiyahu?
I don't know
who you mean by the question. Everyone's heard of Seth Yirmiyahu 70 years. What did you always think they were? 70 years of? Fill in the blank. Of Golas. Yeah. Most people think it's 7 years of Golas, meaning from the time we go to exile, to return from exile was 7 years, and they build it on the Pasuk in the beginning of Ezra, when Korach takes over, and the Jews come back after 7 years, the Pasuk of Korach. Other people say 7 years of Korban. Who remembers that? That the 7 years from the time the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed to the time it's rebuilt? And everyone knows from Gilad to sell the draft that the Huffman makes the party and the calculates the 70 years. That's one of the biggest misunderstandings of 70 years of Yirmiyahu, because that leads to all these calculations which mess everybody up, and that leads to the missing years of Yirmiyahu, that's the topic of Yom Yun. But if you read Yirmiyahu carefully, Yirmiyahu was not saying that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed for 7 years. He never says that. That's a different Nabi. You know, since the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for 7 years, that's Zechariah in Paragala. He doesn't say, he doesn't promise what will be. He's saying, in the second of Zariah, that it's been 7 years. He's making a statement. He's not making a prediction. It's when it's being rebuilt, he's praying to God, it's been 7 years since it's been destroyed. So it's true that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for 7 years, but that's not a prophecy of Yirmiyahu. That's a statement, a fact made by Zechariah. It's also not 7 years of exile that Yirmiyahu is talking about, because we're going to see Yirmiyahu is going to say that there doesn't have to be exile. Yirmiyahu's 7 years is very specific. He's saying 7 years of Babylonian sovereignty.
Babylonian sovereignty.
And that gives the Jewish people a choice. What can they do? If they listen to Rebbe, what can they do? They can stay in Yerushalayim, put up a white flag, and say, I accept Babylonian sovereignty for the next 7 years. Why? I'm throwing until I've been, God warned me. God gave me 20, 30 years of time to return. I didn't listen. I made a terrible mistake. God punished me. My whole leadership has got to go out. We misused our sovereignty. Now we have to be only survivor's autonomy. Let someone else run our country until we learn our lesson. After a whole new generation goes up, maybe we can get it back and do it right the next time. That's the punishment that God's giving the people. Yirmiyahu's going to say, we're going to read it inside a minute. You have a choice. You can either give in to Babel and stay in your country. There doesn't have to be any more exile. There doesn't have to be destruction of the Mizrach. All you need to do is put up that white flag. If you don't put up the white flag, what's going to be? Down goes your temple. Down goes up, you go into exile. You follow? So we're going to see that in Perek Chavzayin in Yirmiyahu. Take a look in Yirmiyahu Chavzayin. Remember, this all... It may sound a little complicated, but this is all to understand your Pesach.
Yeah.
Just in terms of getting this, we already have the first cover
above us. No, not yet.
Not yet.
In Perek Chavzayin, that's the bombshell. Perek Chavzayin is before...
Before
Nebuchadnezzar came. It's the first year of his rise to power in Babel. The first year of his empire.
Then he is saying, essentially what he's saying could be interpreted as made from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's first conquest.
That's the double date in the beginning. When does the clock start ticking? When does the 7-year clock start ticking? The same time we have, the only similar in the Nebuah is for 400 years of the beginning of 30.
Yeah.
And that's also a question, when does the clock start ticking?
So when does he say the clock starts ticking?
The fourth year of your 18.
From now.
That's right. That's why there's a double date in the beginning. There's the fourth year of Yoyakim, it's the first year of Babel, and for the next 7 years, they're in charge. Now, you know what happens? The next year, Babel comes in, and Yoyakim is subservient to him for 3 years. Simple enough, he talks about it. And then, in year 8 or 9 of his reign, what does Yoyakim do? Rebels against Babel, doesn't listen to Yirmiyahu. What does Babel do? They come in, send out the first wave of exile. That's the loot Yoyakim. Yoyakim gets killed. Yoakim takes over for 3 months, he goes out like a bench, he signs all the papers, he goes out, he has a fight, Yoakim. He goes in, he's wanting me to leave, I'm leaving, he walks out, and all the elites in Eslam meet with him, the Kharas and Mazir, and all the big servant in Kohanim, and most of the people stay behind. Nebuchadnezzar appoints Tzidkiyahu as king, it was Mataniah, I changed his name to Tzidkiyahu, and Tzidkiyahu is supposed to become king. But subservient to Babel, he's only a vassal king to Babel. And the first, we're going to see the first 4 years of Tzidkiyahu's reign, he listens. Guess what's going to happen in year 5 of Tzidkiyahu's reign? Tzidkiyahu rebels against Babel, hoping that he's just going to help him. Understand? And that's going to bring it to... The fourth of year of Yechezkel is going to coincide exactly when Tzidkiyahu rebels against Babel. That's going to be the key to understanding the book.
Hello?
But behind all the religious, what I'm getting at is behind all this religious stuff, if you don't understand the political undercurrent, you can't appreciate what messages the rabbis are trying to give.
We're also in terms of accounting 70 years, there's much reason to assume many different dates to count.
We're going to talk about this. We'll see how cool it's going to get. Now, what I need to show you in Perek Chavzayin is only one thing. To prove that 7 years is only Babylonian sovereignty, that doesn't have to be exiled, that doesn't have to be, Chorban. In Perek Chavzayin, the Sabbath passage is bad for a reason because the first passage is a mess. Okay. Koma Hashem Eloi. Kachar Yirmiyahu. Hashem Echa Moshulot Umotot V'Natan Kam Al Tahorecha. Kachar Yirmiyahu to take a yoke. And Yirmiyahu walks out with a yoke on his neck. Yirmiyahu walks out with a yoke on his neck. And God tells him to do that. And then he makes a lot of copies, these little yokes. Every table got to have a little yoke. What did he do? V'tilachtam, what did he do? V'melech Edom, v'melech Moab, v'melech Bnei Amon, v'melech Tzor, v'melech Sidon, v'yad malachim abayim Yerushalayim, v'melech Yerushalayim, Yehuda. What's happening? There's a conference of foreign ministers in Yerushalayim. You see it? That's the whole Middle East is meeting here. Look at the countries. Edom, Moab, Amon, Sword, Sidon. They're all meeting it, the whole neighborhood. The foreign emissaries of all those kings are beating by Tzidkiyahu. Guess what they're planning to do? They're planning to rebel against Babel. And it's only going to work if we all work together on this. This is the hottest thing in the Middle East. We have to rebel against Babel. No one likes Babel. Prophet Dalit. Shitibitam otam azunim memor kol ma'asem tzvotam yisrael kol tzvotam azunim. Here's the message. This rabbi comes to this meeting, a foreign minister. This rabbi, or this prophet Yirmiyahu comes, and he has a message from the God of Israel. and tells him, what? Here's a little thing to bring back to your little side, a little present, to take back to your king, a little yoke. And here's the message of the God of Israel. Then my own group lives on this Israel. אנוכי עשיתי את הארץ ואת האדם ואת הבהמה על פני כל הארץ בכוחי הגדול בדרום זיה ונתתי אל יפה על אשר יצא בעיניי. What's God saying? I own, it's my fault, it's my globe. I create everything, I make the rules, God's saying. Number one. Everyone knows this prophet. The last half. Look at the Sefer. אני עשיתי את הארץ ואת האדם ואת הבהמה על פני כוחי הגדול בדרום זיה ונתתי אל יפה בעיניי. What do we call that? Every Jew knows that one. Every... Who quotes that part? The first Rashi in Chumash. Everyone misunderstands the first Rashi. Because what do they think? What's Rashi coming to teach you? How come Chumash begins with Rashi? To tell you, the land of Israel belongs to the Bnei Yisrael, right? Everyone says it like it's written.
Right?
It says, the purpose of Sefer Bereishit is to tell you that the world belongs to God, and God gives it to Lashir, Sabbath, whoever is fitting. That's the point. That's why Chumash begins with Rashi. Tell us the land doesn't belong to us. It's destined for us if we keep his laws. If there is the Yud, that is Moredes. Okay? Tata Anokhi Natati Tchon Lassot Eilem Biyad Nebuchadnezzar Melech Adar Avdi Vigam Tchai 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 But over and over again, just you act like you can't enough, you go. It's the theme that first Rashi in Chumash is so basic. The whole theme in Chumash. And it's building a community else. Now, what's it saying? Vavdu Oson Kol Agayim Et Bino, but then Bino Ashto Eit Ashto Gamur, Vavdu Oson Kol Agayim Et Bino. What's it saying? Vaya Agad Al Mamacha Asher Lo Yavdu Oto, Et Nefaganet Im Melech Nevel, Et Kasim Yitere Sabro Bo Melech Vavel, Vechav Vav Vedele Oson Kol Agayim Hunu Mashem, Bukhule. If you don't listen to Vavel, you're finished. But look at Pasuk Tet. Vatem, al tishmoni v'yechem l'okos mechem v'ochal motechem v'al menechem v'al ksepechem v'al jayim omrim alachem l'mor lo tadud merach v'zal. All your advisors, make fun of them. The magicians, Ouija board readers, they're the political advisors. He calls them a bunch of wizards, a bunch of phonies. He's saying, don't listen to them dreaming. This idea of rebelling against v'zal, you're dreaming. Be realistic. Don't fight them. You're dreaming. God put them in power. Don't fight them. He said to me, you're making up. And their rabbis and their religious people are all saying fight Babel, it's in the stars. God said, you wonder what the real God has to say about this? It's over. Babel's in stars. Now, how about a goy who wants to listen? Pasuk Gimel. For a goy has to yavi et sabar abo melech Babel, v'avadol, v'inachtiv ha'ad matonim ha'sherem, v'avadol v'yasabah. Do you want to stay in your country and don't want to go into exile? All you have to do is put up a white flag to Babel. And now have a tikkil. The tikkil melech yudah divad yitzchon yifan meila lemor. Have you a tabrachem or melech lovel? Did you also be no be few? Lama temu it atzar v'amcha b'cher v'ra v'devel kasher dibar shem arizai to love and melech lovel. Al tismo divar en adim omrim alechem lemor. Lo tazur melech lovel ki shekin yidin. You see what's happening? There's tons of the dream. What is the dream telling the people? Let's rebel. There's a whole movement we have to rebel against lovel. Everyone, the political leaders are saying it. The rabbis are saying it. The false prophets are saying it. They're all saying we have to fight lovel. Yon Yirmiyahu comes in and says, what's God have to say? Give in to Babel. You see why the one is over there? He's finished. He's just blown a pigeon and no one takes him seriously. Now, what would this mean if we don't have a date here? And so we just had a chafchet. Look at the first line of the chafchet. Ka'iva sana ha'i. That year, what year? The year that Yirmiyahu sent these yokes to all these four ministers. Who are gathering with Tikkel, Bishiv HaMelechit Tikkel Melech Yudah B'shna HaRavshit B'chodesh HaFamishim Amar Elay Chaneni Ben Azor Hanabi Al Gibon Ve'it Hashem Lenei Agonim Nitzchon Memot Kom Hashem Tzvaot Shabbat Yit'ol Melech Lazo. Did I have that? So we have cut off there, didn't we? Do we have the discussion continues or not? We have it, okay. Oh yeah, Kom Hashem Yit'ol Melech Lazo. What's the year? Look at the year. It's the fourth year of Tikkel. Understand? What happened to 14? Everyone's gathering in Yerushalayim. Tikkel was put into power by Nebuchadnezzar to be a vassal king, to be subservient to him. If they do that, they could have stayed in Yerushalayim for as long as they wanted. They didn't have to do any more exile. They didn't have to do any more destruction. All they had to do was give it to Babel. In the fourth year, what's starting? There's all the foreign emissaries. They're planning a revolt. And the big hope And guess when the revolt began? The revolt begins the next year. They actually do revolt against Babel. And you find that the key player in this big revolt, the male saying, don't revolt. And there's a confrontation. It's the fifth year now, of PTO. And here comes another Nabi, Hanani ben Atur, who is a legitimate Nabi from Gibbon, according to the Beit HaMikdash. Look what he does. What's he say? He makes it say, "Bitzvamar Hashem Yisrael, Sabbat Yisrael Melech Bazel." Look at Pasuk Gibbon. Both Shatan Yamin, Ani Nitzivah Lamakom Majet Tzedek Hashem, Asher Lechashem Vechanetem Melech Bazel, Min Hamakom Majet Vehim Bavela. If this prominent rabbi makes a prediction, what did he say? Yamil was right, the what? There was coming back from Bazel, but not in 7 years, when? Two more years. Understand? And he's saying something in God's name. He's making Yivuah. He's saying, "Kvamar Hashem, Shabbat Yisrael Melech Bazel." Listen to the fight between the rabbis. One rabbi is saying, it's going to be 70 years given to Bazel, you've been punished for your bad behavior. There's a more active rabbi saying, what did God say? He says, "Kvamar Hashem," God's name. Saying, Bazel's falling. 2 more years, we're all coming back. Which is going to be year 5, 6, and 7, correct? From this level, what do you see? What are the people hoping for? If Babel is finally going to fall, what's going to happen within 2-3 years? Who's coming back? The Goldim from Babel, now he's going to be what's going out. The Goldim is coming back. There's this tremendous hope. Yeah? For sure. He was before. All the he's in a Nevi'ah.
He's gone back.
He's gone back.
How
can you tell what's the truth? First, Chazal said. I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah, Chazal say for sure, and we'll see why later on. Yeah, it's not just Hanani ben Azur, it's the whole Hever. And let me tell you what happened. I understand what's happening. Yeah.
But this Hanani is a prophet.
No, he's a Nabi Hashem. He's a prophet of God.
Right, but how were the people supposed to know?
Okay, that's a whole theory. On the Yom Yulin, Hirsch and Yom Yulin gave a whole... I have a source for that. That's a whole, that's a new deal.
But you know, I'm just thinking, yeah. If I was living in all these conflicts in a
how would it, you know, how would it be possible? That's why I said, the events of summer help me understand it much better. How are the people supposed to know? If all the rabbis are saying one thing, what's a simple person supposed to do? You have to deal with that in Zerah Chabdala. He says, this happens in Judea Sheker, which we're not going to do today. But we're touching on it. To do that, we could go from here for the next hour or two talking about Judea Sheker. Judea Sheker in Yumeo Yechaskel, there's a proliferation, is that word? Of Nevoa Sheker. The Judea Sheker, the God's prophet, and they're saying things in God's name that God never said, and they mean well. Why are they saying it? It's very simple why they're saying it. First of all, Yirmiyahu was the major Nabi. He was the Rav Rashi under Yosiel. Yirmiyahu, he was Yosiel's right-hand man. He led the whole Tshuva movement. And remember that Tshuva movement with Yosiel, that was nationalistic as well. That Babel, Asur fell. There's hopes now for redemption. There's the Buddha's project. There's such big hope. And the church is going to be great. And Yirmiyahu was the leader of them. It was nice. When Yosef gets killed in Megiddo, got the Mazder, they don't know how to deal with it. But there's still big hope. Yirmiyahu, we say nowadays, he turned left. But no one else follows him. You follow? Now, there, sir, all of his colleagues are sure he's off the defense. And when Yirmiyahu says, "Call him on Hashem," they know he's wrong. You follow? They're sure he's wrong. They're sure Yirmiyahu's making it up. They can't believe it's true. Now, how are the people supposed to know? The people don't know, but they know Yirmiyahu, he was a Rav Rashi. What did they have to do, the other Nabi? If Yirmiyahu says Kolamar Hashem, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, what do they have to say? Kolamar Hashem, you follow? Understand? And there's going to go, I'm getting too deep into the topic already, because it takes too long to do. And in Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel is fighting tooth and nail. Which is to be accepted because they're their colleagues. They're colleagues and they're the religious leadership of the country. And everyone's into it. And once this rabbi is saying Kolamar Hashem, he got Nevoah, then everyone's saying Kolamar Hashem. And there's no end to it. It's like it's for him. And everyone's Kolamar Hashem. And Yechezkel gives it to them. And Yamil gives it to them. He compares him to everybody else. He gets, and everyone, he compares it to when you build a wall. There's a wall made out of nothing. And all the Nevi'im are like plaster. You know when you put plaster on a wall? When you put plaster on a wall, it strengthens the wall. But a plaster can be no stronger than the bricks that are holding the wall up. So he compares all the Nevi'im to people throwing plaster on a wall made out of nothing. It's like a wall made out of called a mechitza, right? And just, instead of putting bricks in the middle, you put this mechitza up in the middle and putting plaster on it, and as soon as the wind comes, it's all going to fall down.
Plaster holds together whatever the
chomer is. Yeah, okay. But there's no chomer inside. It's like Yechezkel has a whole set of pasim on that. That's like, again, the topic, I don't want to do any more about it. But it's a rough topic, and Eino Chinami, that's part of people's punishment. It's such a difficult topic. But in fact, it's a difficult, that's what happened behind the first korban. You see why no one learns the book now? And the rest of two. The site's mind-boggling. It's what's amazing, it's all inside, and it's been, you know, in everyone's self, and no one ever reads it. That's our topic. Yirmiyahu was telling the people, given to Babel, all the rabbis are saying it, and this important rabbi, Hananiah ben Azur, saying, call about Hashem, 2 more years, Babel's fallen. And we're all coming back. Understand? Therefore, when the people in Babel, there's greater story back. Between the people in Babel. What's the great, it's not a story, but have your back. Look at Tarakh Abdel. You got me started. I don't want to. Okay. It's just a great story. It's Yamil Chabtet. Chabtet. It's the end of the story. I didn't put it on the thing. I just think it needs time to get there. Remember, I want to appreciate. Remember, the higher echelons went to Babel, and the simple people stayed behind. The important Kohanim went to Babel, and the second rate Kohanim stayed in Yerushalayim. And now they're in charge. We're going to find a letter. Remember we said Yamil sending a letter to Babel? Look at the letter that the Kohanim and Babel are sending to Yerushalayim about Yamil. Yep. You have Chabtet? Mm-hmm. Those have, but how we scroll for those who don't have. You wouldn't put it here. Pasuk Chabdalet. Pasuk Chabtet, Pasuk Chabdalet. Okay. Okay. V'elshmaya ha-nechlami tamon limon. There's a letter going back and forth. Remember Pasuk Chabtet, Yamil sends a letter to Babel? And the same time later on, they send a letter back. Now, Yamil says, in Babel, they're sending a letter. Yamil says, talk about, you kind of about this letter today, it's from Shmaya and Achlami. See his name? Look at his last name. Is that a great last name? who remembers that? Yes, there's a guy who made his name Chip Shmaya. In his birth, he gave a whole list of all the great Shmayas and stuff. And I told him afterwards, he still got this one. actually knew about it. Just my and Achlami, to my limon. Come as in Kotari, to my limon. Yan, listen carefully. Yan, as you attack the lack of Bishimcha. Farim ala amas of Yusran, as Fanya, ben Matel, Grain, Gaz, Kalim, limon. You sent a letter from Brazil to Yusran in your name. This is a letter that Shmaya sent from Brazil to Yusran. To, because Fanya was a new guy put in charge when they left Fanya, what's his name? Funny, but Matthew was put in charge of Yerushalayim when the important people left.
What was put in charge
by him? By the Kohanim who were leaving.
Oh.
By Shmaya. Asher mitalcha Kohen, tachet Yehoyada Kohen. Yehoyada used to be the chief Kohen in Yerushalayim. After the Galut, Shmaya took over. You were appointed by God to be head Kohen in the Beit HaMikdash. You were pidim the Beit HaShem. L'cho ish mitzuga u'mitnabeh, v'atat ha-shalom ha-shach yal shino. You're in charge of the Kohen, you're the usher. In the shul? In the Beit HaMikdash, and you're in charge of any crazy weirdos coming to Beit HaMikdash and melting off. Same thing to Christ. You're in charge of deploying the Beit HaMikdash to make sure that the Sugoyim don't start giving the crazy political opinions in public. Okay? Pasuk Chazayin. V'ata, lama lo ga'ashav Yirmiyahu ha-nasasiyah ha-tabei lechem? Why did you put Yirmiyahu in jail? Ki al-kei shalach eleinu b'zal emor arukai. Do you know when he sent us a letter? Arukai means? What's Aruch mean? Long. Arukah means, Arukah is long. What did they think? It's going to be? Remember? Hananiah ben Azur, what did he say? 2 more years, they're coming back. He said, Arukah, B'nu Batim B'Shevu. You took a note before three hours. Do you know what Yirmiyahu told us to do? To settle down in Galut? I thought you did it. So, what's Yirmiyahu saying? He said, look what this rabbi told us to settle down here, to build houses. Arukah? Yes. Okay? Okay. But it's not funny, I'll call you to say Yirmiyahu Nevi. Okay? Finally then calls. What happened to Meiron was saying, he's going to go into hiding again, Yirmiyahu. So he's been hiding during on Yerushalayim 18, he had to run for his life. But now with his jail, he was a little bit better off, and he goes back and forth between being in jail and going into hiding Yirmiyahu. You understand what's going on in between? You have to read the, you have to put together the different stories. You can see what's happening. You see the letters they're sending from Bavel to Yerushalayim? Why are you letting this guy open his mouth? He shouldn't be allowed to speak. And he's sending us letters telling us what to do? And what's the, that's called the Mimsad. The Mimsad is the established religious leaders of those people. As we look in Yirmiyahu, in the time of Yirmiyahu, the Mimsad is running beautifully. All of Yirmiyahu said, well, remember about the Mimsad? He said, you bring Kabbalah to God, your behavior at home is bad. The establishment is running fine, they're sure that they're right, and Yirmiyahu is just outcast already. He used to be a big rabbi, but he got outcasted because he was part of them, and he went, on the 4th year of the king, he changes. If you know Yirmiyahu, remember what Yirmiyahu tells God? He yells at God, he talks like Yirmiyahu. What's he going to be a crazy job for? Remember, Yirmiyahu says, you're not going to listen to me? And God says, don't worry. He says, I'm going to kill you, but I'll protect you. Yirmiyahu's talking about, he's talking against his best friend, against his colleague. He says to him, he doesn't want to say, remember, he has to say it. Remember, it's words, that's more God. He has to say it, and he knows he's fighting a losing battle. So, why do we do all that? Remember, we have to get to your house. Get moving. What's happening? I want you to, I'm painting a picture of what's happening in Bavel, Yerushalayim, in year 4 or 5 of Hezekiah. You understand? Okay. Bavel's in charge already, but they're hoping, because there's plans in Yerushalayim for revolting against Bavel. Mitzrayim is what it means we have been moving. Mitzrayim is already moving troops to engage Bavel, and Paris on the ground in Yerushalayim.
I think I mentioned heaven on this. No, I didn't touch it there. Keep it up.
Look at Paris on the ground. It's also on the page there. In part of the case, just to show what's happening. In Paris, it's during Hezekiah's reign. When it's not clear, but in part of the case, the Shaparo Yisam Yisrael Yisma Kazim Asim Al Yisrael Vosimam Veyulum Yal Yisrael. You see that? Because he's trying to go, there's something happening. You see what they go? There's hope that Egypt's going to come to the rescue. And Egypt does come out with his army, and there was a siege, you see what happened there? The siege of Yisrael settled for a short time, and the Babylonians had to take off their siege to deal with Egypt. And they think that it's over. And Yirmiyahu said, don't think it's over, it's still close to come. You see what's going on with the people? What's going to happen? What's going to be next? Now, with all this hope in Yerushalayim that the worst is over, that spreads to Bethel. This letter's going back and forth. What the people in Bethel are thinking in year 5 of Hezekiah? What are they hoping for now? If Hanani ben Azur is right, what's going to happen? Within 2 years, they're all coming back. All of a sudden, Yechezkel is one of the rabbis back there. Yechezkel gets to the born Bavel, and what does he see? He sees the Shina landing where? In Bavel. And later in detail, he sees it leaving Yerushalayim. Do you understand his message? It's not only are we going back, what's happening? What? God's coming to us.
Hello?
And the future of Amisrael is in Bavel. It's a bomb. You understand what the bomb shelter is? It's unheard of what you're actually saying. Because in the Boran Chutzla, but better enough, we're not going back, but God's coming here. Because they're also sure that the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed to the people when they're told, Echalasim, Echalasim, and now let's look at what Yechezkel was talking about. What's Yechezkel's main job? If you know, now we can look at Yechezkel in the beginning. Go back to the first looking at Yechezkel. Okay. Now we have the background. Let me just summarize to make sure we didn't lose the main point. I wanted to show you that to appreciate the book of Yechezkel, you have to know what's happening in your meal. Understand? You have to know what's happening, the political events that are happening. You have to know that the hopes of the people, the arguments going on. If you don't understand that in the book of the 7 years of Bavel, and how Yirmiyahu accuses the Nebi Sheker for saying it. That's the fact that the Tarif Chavad is Yirmiyahu's trial where they accuse him as the Nebi Sheker. Much as God saves him, he just said, but the Beijing in a high court in time must put them, give them death warrants. So there's a real Beijing, and he subject at them El Yon, and they put him on trial, and they sound guilty.
Yes.
Yeah, he runs away in the end. And so someone he's got inside to help him. It used to be an important God. But without understanding that background, you can't appreciate what's happening in Yechezkel's time. Now, Yechezkel is going to be in Bavel. We're going to see God's going to give a message to Yechezkel. And the first thing he tells Yechezkel is, guess what? Your job is true, but guess what? No one's going to listen to you. It's the last card. And that's the big question is, if no one's going to listen to him, why speak? And that's going to be the interpretation. Okay?
That was my great.
But although that's going to... Why interpretation is going to be so important is going to be because of that. Now let's go to associate in the Hezekiel. We start there at the Aleph where we have the year. The fifth year of, and he sees the first of the big Nevoah. After he sees the vision, in the beginning of Pharaoh's bed, God gives him his mission. Yehezkel Pharaoh's bed wants to give up. Ve'emre Elai ben Adam. Sholech en yotach otcha. El b'nei Yisrael el b'nei Mordim ha'shim lo dubi. Heima b'avotam pashubi. Aretem ha'yom hazeh. Pharaoh's bed in Yehezkel Pharaoh's bed. Yeah. פסוק דלת, בברים שפנים וכתכלי ואני סולח אתך עליהם ומאת כדם כל הארץ הם אלוקים יהיו גדם עבירו נבואה והמה, פסוק ה, אם ישמעו, אם יחדלו כי בית נרי המה וידעו כי נביא היה בתוכם you say, these people are rebellious say whether they take it or not I know they're rebellious people you have to tell them, why? Because ultimately, the Yadu can be at the time when it's all over, what will they know? God's saying, what you're telling them now is not going to happen right now. You're getting divorced now, you're on record now, basically. You're on record. So 10 years from now, you have credibility. Understand? The whole purpose is Yechezkel knows he's up again. He says the people aren't going to listen. He knows the people. They're locked in. They have a concept yet. And they have a... They have an understanding how things are and you can't break them. They're sure, and they're sure that they're right. They're sure, they know that they're right. He says, they're not going to listen, but what God's biggest fear? God's fear is, if Yechezkel didn't say anything, what would happen? If all the rabbis are going to say that Jerusalem can't be destroyed, that we're going to be saved, and that's going to lead to what happened, the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, it's all over, what would the people's conclusion be? Azabas and Atarit. And then there's no hope for them. The people give up on God altogether. Yechezkel's main job is to make sure that when the worst happens, there'll be someone afterwards, when the big damage happens, there'll be someone to take care of damage control afterwards. Now, and no one said anything. If there was at least one Navi who spoke on the stage, when all your rabbis are saying it's all wrong. Okay? And I warned you, I told you so, at least when that prophecy comes true, then it'll have what's called credibility. You have to think all these things have to build up his credibility for when the worst will happen later on. Something very similar to Yechezkel Perek Gimel. We can skip to yet another Maran Nevoah. Again, it's part of it is when he's appointed. Pasuk Chafei. The Vasa Ben Adam. Maran Gimel with Yechezkel. Vasa Ben Adam. Hinei Elu Alecha Avotim Vasucha Behem Velo Tetzei Betocham. I'm sorry, what's the capital? But so big Ruach, my Tabdenia was right, Ruach came and slid my feet, by the ability, by my mind, voice to get the top of the time. God tells him, you're in the house of stay in your house. But that ben Adam, so you have to pray, give him a passage cafe. But that ben Adam, he needs a new Alecha Bosin, but Shuch Abraham, who wants to take it to him. So they're going to put you in chain. Ulusodcha, Adit Elchitecha. Is that cool? What's that from? Never from TV? She's back with Sunny Lichiki, unless you're asking my wife, you sign all those in Pati. See the foot here? Usoncha adjit yachijacha. Vini elamcha. What's that mean? What's it mean? Remember that word we're going to need it. It's going to bring us back to the service heaven. Vroti elam lishmochiach. First, you be quiet. Then, kibit nerehima. Umidabir zah, then when I speak to you, Estachetika, v'mati elam kol ma'akem, v'ashomim yishma v'achter yachal kibit nerehima. Right. First, you have to go through a time where you say nothing. You have to make an impression on them. He's going to lie, and the next place, he's lying on the side for a whole year. He lied, you know the story? He lies on the side, on one side, on the other side, a whole year. He can't say a word, and he's the last response of the whole community. And finally, after a year, he starts talking, and then he gets his publicity. So, hold on. If you want to know publicity, since Yechezkel, he's like, the cool. There's a whole song about him in modern Hebrew. No, right? The cousin of Yechezkel, anyone know the song? And hey, Yechezkel, that's what... It's the story here is so good, it's a popular song, even. Now, with that in mind, what's Yechezkel doing? Yechezkel has to deal with what the people are saying. What does Yechezkel have to prevent? His job is to be there when the worst is over. He knows they're not going to listen to him. But he has to tell the people, I told you so. Because the future of the people in Israel are going to be... Those in Babel. If the people in Babel give up hope, remember, first, on the one hand, they have to know that what they did was bad. On the other hand, he said in a situation that that when the worst happens, they're going to give up hope on God altogether. If that has to be there for them, when the worst is over, he's laying the groundwork now. Therefore, Parashat Yud Aleph, that we saw. Skip there and catch up Parashat Yud Aleph. We'll go back and see what's happening. This is already year 6. Remember? The revolt's already starting. It's year 6. And there's news in Bavel, great hope in Bavel. So what? We're coming back soon. Yenil sent his letter already. And what's the Chesed's message to the... That's an vision of what's happening in Ukraine. Remember, you can't tell these stories to people you try and make. That's not being the decision. I said, this guy, that guy, you know the names of the people there. He found they knew him from 5 years ago. And this is Zandi Ben Azur and Fatih Ben Benel Sarayam. Those are the people who speak there. Fatih said. Samuel, like Ben Adam, Ela Nasim of Hoshima, Aden Adim Asad Rabi Azor. He's Sareem. These political leaders, these ministers, they're giving bad advice to the people. What are they saying? Homi, lo v'tarov. They said, what's lo v'tarov? Bavel, Yeriel was nebot, lo v'tarov. V'not v'tim, here in Yerushalayim. He has here, what's he has here? Jerusalem, Tzafat, v'anachnu ha-basar. We're the meat. Jerusalem will protect us. We can't be defeated. God's house, God will save us. God will never forsake his people. You can fill in the rest. You hear it all the time. You follow? A total confidence God's going to save us no matter what. Jerusalem will never be destroyed. Then what's the Chesed tell us? Pasuk Yud Aleph? What's his message? He lost the Elohim of fear, but then he gets them back. He gets them back. He plays clothes back. You follow? It won't be for you a fear, but you're going to be the meat. Guess what happened? Look at your Chesed and say, you guys are cooking meat. That's what you're going to and the Pasuk is going to protect you, the Pasuk is going to cook you. You think the things that protect you, because your whole idea of the things that protect you is going to bring you down. It's going to destroy you. Okay? But Pasuk Yud-Bet, I'm sorry, as we said, Pasuk Yud-Bet, see that them, see, I need to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to say, I'm going to if you know, Yom Yael, I mean, if you know, Sefer Vayikra, that's Tarek Yud-Bet in Vayikra, so I'm going to say, remember Vayikra, you said talked about Baruch HaKeh Tzachem B'Tam Chem Otah, Kachay 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 Kachay. The same thing, Yechezko and Vayikra go together beautifully. It says, why? Yes, Yechezko to warn them that you're being punished by God's holy sin for Vayikra. The book of Atom and Gatsu Korbanot only works if, you know Vayikra's pushing two in the middle? The only idea of Korbanot, etc. only works if you have pushing two in the back in the middle. Without pushing two, you don't pushing two, like you said. Without pushing two, there's no point to all these Korbanot and everything around the middle. Now we can return and include with a third B'Tevet in Yehezkel. Remember, it's been year 7 passes by, and what happened? No redemption. Again, they're not going to say Yirmiyahu was right. What are they going to say? Yirmiyahu was to blame. Again, I just hate bringing this up, but you hear the same. Again, always thinking, I'm not saying who's right or wrong. But there's all these people who said, how come we had to get that good Kedesh? Because not enough rabbis supported like had all the rabbis said disobey orders, etc. Right? Then we should have stopped it. Mm-hmm. It's the rabbis who gave in just a little bit and said, give us, right? Because of them we lost Yonatan. Again, that's saying right wrong. But I'm just using for the sake of analogy. How you can have a conception no matter what happens. But who are they blaming? How come it didn't work? Had Yirmiyahu not opened his mouth, what would have happened? You think about it, by the way, had any been a door, he dies 2 years later. But what did they say? You nailed first him to death. You know, he did a push of the mill on him or something. You know, and he dies, but they blame it on him. By the way, there's a whole topic of Ni'uf here. Ni'uf is seven commandments? Adultery, yeah. No. The Naveen talks about all this Ni'uf that's going on by this Naveen. And it sounds like, what's going on? These big rabbis in the role. It sounds like they have. But you have. But if you see Yirmiyahu carefully, the news he's talking about is not in youth. It's not in Hilchot Yishuv, it's in Hilchot in politics. You follow? It's youth as far as you're breaking your contract with God. Because God puts you in, you signed a contract. He yells at them. That's the effect of that sign, and you cry. You made a deal with Bavel to be subservient. He puts you in power. He yells at you, jail. You made a deal of loyalty, and you broke your international contract with him, and you're going to get it for that loyalty. He calls that the whole topic of youth, which is also a topic for a whole. Interesting shit. Now we're ready to finish with the third B'Tevet. Look what happened. That's Yechezkel. Now we have the background of understanding Yechezkel Perech Abdallah. Vayigvar Hashem Elai, B'Tanash Hatshi'id B'Chodesh HaTzivri. That's all. Year 7 passed. What happened? No redemption.
maybe another year, maybe it's coming soon, and we said maybe some can help. Now Yisrael says, so first of all, it's all over. Now it's a lot. Remember, till now there's been a last chance.
All right, just one more thing. Go back. I'm sorry. I want to prove. Okay. I got one. Guys, give me your chafet. I can prove that there's something that I want to prove.
Give me your chafet. I skipped it. Give me your chafet. We're going to get that. Give me your chafet just to prove something. It's real simple. I got to prove to you that the base of Egypt didn't have to be destroyed. I sent you one solid ink of proof. Give me your chafet. I want to prove to you that according to Yirmiyahu, there's a last chance. It's not a lost cause. Yeah, just give me a chabad. That's what I want to show you. Give me a chabad, real simple, generic to the house of David, and we have time to read all Paris to prove it much more in detail. But look at give me a chabad. Koma Hashem. Reh Beit Melech Yehuda, by the way, with this, this was in the book given, it's a generic to the book, it's given to the kind of you, Shell, Yonatim, to Shell, all of them. After this opening the book, the details are going to give it to all of them. Come on, Reh Beit Melech Yehuda, you bought yourself a chabad of Hashem. Jemaat is mother of Hashem, Melech Yehuda, Hayosei Rav Kisei David. We did that here before, remember? Rav Kisei David was doing, Rav David was saying, Rav Kisei David, that's what we've done that here many times. Now, Melech Hayosei Rav Kisei David, that's what Kisei David, Atav Rav Kisei Vamcha Baim Bechai Naimah. First of all, Koma Hashem, Asu Mishpah Yitzhaka, Asu Vagazu Mi Arasho, Vigyad Yotam Amalau Sonu, Vatachmodu, Adam Nati Yot Shifu Vamkom Hashem. First of all, Kimasho Tatsu Et Adavar Hashem, ובאו בשרי הבית הזה מלכים יושבים לדבי על כיסאו ולוחבים ואנחנו שפים לו בגב עמו ואם לא תשמע את זה במהל ונבד עם השם וכל בעלי הבית הזה black on white, you follow? To the last day, according to Yirmiyahu, if Melech Yehuda focuses on technical dispatch, there's no reason for the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed. He didn't say Babel is going to go away.
Isn't there another place where he says that if you follow,
you
won't get problems,
there
won't be destruction?
Okay, that was in Perak Chazayin. Yeah, we said in Chazayin. I didn't read it right. You're right. It's in Perak Chazayin. He says, we saw the beginning of it. I said it right on. In Perak Chazayin, he says, look like, if you don't rebel against Babel, you can stay. You won't be destruction, yeah. People. But the main thing it's dependent on, if you do technically spite, you can save the whole thing. He didn't say that Babel's going to go away, but you don't have to go into exile, and there doesn't have to be any more. There's actually Chobani, no one has to go into exile. Understand? It's black and white. Now, that's not the last chance in Yirmiyahu. There's always hope for Yirmiyahu. Yechezkel, right, knows the people only too well. I'd like to appreciate, but sometimes, you have to be concerned with teachers. I want to say, sometimes you can be a principal or a teacher in a school and say, this kid, he's a lost cause. Sometimes you have to look at, there's no hope for the kid. Meaning, you can try every time, give another chance, you can just say, I see, we're going nowhere with him. Listen, that's what Yechezkel sees. Yechezkel sees the people, he sees his colleagues, he sees what's happening. He says, the only way they're going to learn is a catastrophe. There's no other way, they don't get the message. He says, so they understand, it's a lost cause. That's what he's going to say now. Now Yechezkel comes out with it. Right where I said, the Rabbi Shana Tzi'it, the Chodesh Tzi, the Chodesh, the Chodesh, the Mor, Ben Adam. Tov lecha Tzim HaYom HaZeth, Etzim HaYom HaZeth, Tzimach Ba'a Bavol Yisrael, Be'etzim HaYom HaZeth. God tells Yechezkel, here's your final chance to prove your credibility. I want you to write down in public. Etzem Hayom at this day, the tenth, if you need to remember. You write it down and you tell the people. Everyone watches today, because soon, not today, but in a couple of weeks from now, we're going to get the news from Yerushalayim. And what are we going to hear? I'm telling you now, today is the day the siege in Jerusalem begins. Mark my word. And write it down. Let's read over. Okay? Another, okay. Talk to Gimel. From the Tsar Beit HaMeri Masal, and give them a Masal. Remember what was their Masal? He has to have an Achra Masal? I'm going to give the slogan back. Okay? Masal Beit HaMeri Masal, Ramai said, Koma Hashem, Tzvot Asir, Tzvot, in Gani Tzvot for mine. It's not for Tzachar, Lev, Kon Yata Tzov, Ketef Yorech, Nitzchal Samim Ave. Nitzchal Tzom Lekoch, Kama Dura Samim Tachter. What's that? You follow? Take a pot and do what? Kill it up with meat, and better meat and everything. A whole chunk inside. A whole, it's called gulash. All kinds of people inside. Look at the part 10, they can't come out, each one's representing a different group of people there. But it's love. So can come out them, Oy ye adamim, shir ha-shechel ha-taba, chazal ha-shevi meno, shachan shechel ha-hutsia. Basically goes on and on how what's going to happen to this pot. All the meat's going to get burnt, ruined, and all the things will be scattered all over. The shir won't protect the meat, instead the shir is going to cook the meat. You understand how he cooks one slogan, and he turns it back on them? Ve-masal, ve-masal. He's talking to the people, he's using his own slogans back against them. He's talking with the people understand. Let's skip to the end of the parak. It's very late. Pasuk Lafay. Remember, later on in the parak, if you have a little Hilchot Sadirlis, you might know the rest of the parak. You know exactly what happens to Cheskel on his right side. That's how it's marked in the day. And his right side is his Kedoshi Shiva. I said, Cheskel does things which are just mind-boggling. And his wife, and people ask, how can I sit in Shiva? He says, no one's going to sit in Shiva soon, because everyone's going to be killed. There'll be no one to sit in Shiva for anybody. That's how bad it's going to be. But all day, when he tells them what not to do, from there we go to all the laws of Shiva from the parak, from parak of Dalit, and parak of more popular. When that's all over, what he says is super khalif and gets people's attention. Parak HaPasach HaFeh, again, Vatab and Adam. Hallo B'yom Kachticha Mehemet Muzam, on the day when I take their mitzvah, the city, Matos Sifartam, that's the base of mitzvah, et Vachad and Nehem, et Masa Nafsam, you know what Masa Nafsam is? You know what Masa Nafsam is? Something you're hoping for all the time. It's called Masa Nafsam. You carry up with your soul, carrying yourself all the time. When I take away basically the base of mitzvah, what's going to happen? V'yom Ahu, Yavua Palit Elecha, the Palit, you know what the Palit is? The refugee. From you, Sunday is going to come and take the news of the Qurban. What would the police do for you? What do you mean to open his mouth? It's not a dentist. What's the police going to do? The police doesn't have to do anything to affect you physically. But when the news comes, then what happens? Truth will be destroyed, and all the false prophets of God's prophets come forth. Then finally, what you're able to do? You have your credibility. Is that what you say here? But the Daber v'lo te'alem on. Remember? What te'alem means? You will no longer be elaine. You now you're going to speak. Now you have credibility. You can always speak. But if you now you can speak and now you heard, praise the name of Moshe. Remember Moshe? Approved. The God exists. You do can ask them. And that's the end of, that's the end of the Rav, that's the end of the whole first unit, which is the core of the Cheskel. Because from the Karach HaKol, you can look, it's the Bot HaLamin. And that's where Perek HaFei ends. That's it. According to Yechezkel, now it's over. From the 10th of today, it's a lost cause. And now, we're simply waiting for the news of disruption coming back to Yerushalayim. Then Yechezkel has credibility. Then it should become Yechezkel's job to make sure that the people in Babel don't give up hope. And don't say, God left us. And don't say, hey, but what? Time to return it. And guess what the end of Yechezkel is going to be? What's it going to be? His vision? You'll see the same thing that's leaving. It's going to return. You'll see the big God coming back. And explain why, and that's the book. Nachama, you follow? That'll be the end of the book. Now, as he gives the rebuke, he's going to focus on what the people did, what we didn't discuss today, what were the people doing wrong. You can get already what the main thing is going to be. Well, all these parts about Sedekum Mishpat. But that's not what we're talking about. We'll talk about a lot of things, but he's seeing Yirmiyahu, it's going to be the same language, Yishayahu, etc. The same language Chari talks about in the beginning of Bayit Sheni. But that's basically, I want you to appreciate, hope you understand, the Nebuah Vassar B'Tedek is Yechezkel Perek of Dalet. That's clear? This is only... The date mentioned in Melachim and Yirmiyahu is the date that the speech was said. But the Nebuah of the Tenth of Tedek and its message, that was my goal today, to understand when you read Perek of Dalet and see the message, when it says, it talks about Shirim Basar, you know where it's coming from? Which is Lobo Karob B'Nov Batin. Where it's coming from? And we understand Yechezkel's predicament that he's in. Because he's surrounded by all these Judean sector. And he can't open his mouth. But unfortunately, the only way he'll get his credibility now, and the reason why I gave all these nebuot in the beginning, all these years, not that people are going to, God says, they're not going to listen to you, but don't give up hope, but the fact you opened your mouth once, when it's all beyond, now you can speak. And it's because of Yechezkel, the Judaism continues, and Babel, and then the church. I want to end with, looking at Zechariah, which we know, but if you take a look at Zechariah Parazine, we'll conclude with that. For those who don't have,
where's my little deck?
You don't have the page, you know there's nothing, I have a whole bunch of pages. The high fair sign, that's where you all have. The high fair sign. Everyone knows about that. Some are reading, some are reading, some are reading, some are reading. You will be just a son, Shukha. Zechariah is a Navi. We read about him 2 weeks ago, Shabbat Hanukkah. Remember when he was in Shibat Shion, Shibat Shachat Yipitochef? Zechariah is not in the beginning of the second temple period. He returned with the Goyim. He said when they rebuilt the Mikdash in the second year of Vayavet, he said the Shina can return. But if you look at the last part, the compare above in Zechariah. Zechariah says the last part is real simple. Zechariah says before Tiller. Zechariah says above, the last line. The sixth question about the Shina returning to Yerushalayim, which you read about on Hanukkah. The last line, Ruchokim Yavo, Ubanu Bechal Hashem, Di Gatem Tien Hashem Tzvot Tzachan Erechem, Vaya Yishtamoa Tishma Bukal Hashem. If God's going to bring the Shina back, all on a condition that you listen to God. Which only makes sense with the background of why they went into Gilbert. In the beginning, in the fourth year of Zayyab, it's entire Zayin, there's the famous Nevoah. Remember the people asked, we continue to fast in the fifth month? That mission is being rebuilt, we continue to fast on Tishabal, the famous Hashkebuch of Chamisi. Remember Chayyab's answer? Actually, God's answer. He goes, I ask you to fast, I don't ask you to eat, I don't ask you to fast. I said, Rabbanan, remember, I only ask you to put both of your rices. Because both of them take Rabbanan questions. He says, what you're asking me about fasting, that's your problem. You decide. You decide to fast, you decide what to eat. If you wonder what I want you to do, that's what I want to read. Zion. Okay? So if you want to eat, that's up to you. What do I want you to do? Halot and Vernish of Kharashem, the other Nadima Rishodin. If you wonder what I want you to now invite Shani, the same thing I told the first Nadim at the end of Ayat Rishon to tell you to do. Which is what? Maybe I'll send Chai Lemor, call my son's vote, be spotted next fall to, set the Rahman to a Tashrishi, I'm not a beginner of some Atasoku, but he said, Kashi Batakuba Bakshan by Luna Rakshi, you follow? He goes over. What caused the first nation missions to be destroyed? Remember, ask them with anybody, they give you the big three. It's not starting. The Gemara Yoma is assuming that people know Chari, Yishayel, Amos, and they're coming. You know the Gemara Yoma, everyone's close all the time? What was the reply we said of Bai Chini? The famous one. That's said on the best of the bus. Which word? So they say Bai Chini was worse because it's Shinat Achim. Now, they're coming to the purpose of the Gemara to tell you how bad Shinat Achim is. It says that it's even worse than the big three of Bai Rishon. But the purpose isn't telling why Bai Rishon was destroyed. It's to tell you how bad Shinat Achim was of Bai Chini. So therefore they take the worst thing to Bai Rishon. But that was exactly in the time of Menasher. But the final Qurban, all that we talk about is because of Tzedek and Mishpat. It's black and white for all of them. This one caused the thing, and this is too much of a misunderstanding too often, when it's oversimplified. And then he gives the whole thing about, you just like, they didn't listen to you then, and now that you're coming back, now here's your chance to do it right. Pasuk Gimel, Tzedek, Pasuk Gimel, Koma Hashem, Shabti Otsiyom, V'Shachati B'Tok Yerushalayim, What's God promising? I'm coming back. He's always talking conditions. On what condition? That you make Yerushalayim, here I met Vatsevich. Means God's willing to do his side if we do our side. And some people want to end with the Pesukim, which we all know. And Sarachet, Pasuk, the Pesukim that was Pasuk Yerushalayim, this starts from Pasuk Tedzayin. So we have a little guide. Pasuk Tedzayin and Sarachet. In case it wasn't clear, all the references here, he says the black and white. The purpose of our study all the time is, it's not just a technical study of why the first, the whole purpose of the fast days, the four fast days, isn't just to remember what happened, remember why it happened. And if you have these fast days, it's not just the fast, it's the fast if you want to get, remember the Haftarah from Yom Kippur, if you want a real attack on fast days, the Yisrael said, take a look at it one time, when you're not empty stomach, and worn out from davening, read that parashah in Yisrael. But the main purpose of the fast days is to remember not what happened, but why it happened. And if we have fast days to this day, especially in our own time period when there's a time of redemption with all its problems, if we don't know what the recipe is for turning a time of possible destruction to a time of redemption, so definitely the Nevi'im that we study hopefully give us a good guideline. Yeah. Can I copy the is it MP3?
Well, I have to convert it. I can convert it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will put it in my laptop. I have my laptop there. Yeah.